Then, shall we start? Okay. Thank you for coming. My name is Luis Cañas Díaz. I work for the Liversoft Group, and I'm going to present you a study we made a few months ago to analyze the reused code between two Floss projects using Floss software tools. First, please allow me to introduce myself and my group. As I told you, my name is Luis Cañas. I work for a research group in Madrid in the Rey Juan Carlos University. We are about 20 people, including PhD students. We are focused on free, libre, and open source software. And our main research lines are understanding how is the Floss development being done, what are the key roles, how the people contribute with Floss projects, how the companies contribute with Floss projects. And we do it from a quantitative and empirical approach. Basically, we retrieve data from all the Floss projects and we study what's going on behind the project. We are also participating in several R&D projects. And lately, we are creating a startup. We are starting a spin-off. Hopefully, we are starting next month. Basically, we are going to use the experience we gather while we were working in Liversoft, and we are going to offer, of course, professional products and services. And we are also going to be focused on metrics about software development, specializing communities to understand what is behind the communities, how the companies contribute with communities, how the people is involved in the community. So we are also specializing in offering support to development forges like maybe you know FusionForge, Alura, which is the brand new forge developed by SourceForge. And we are also including this kind of study of communities in the forges. If you are interested in this part, my workmate Daniel Izquierdo will talk about this next Saturday. So let's get to the point. A few months ago, a manager of the Provincial Council of A Coruña, which is in Spain, in a region of Spain, which name is Galicia, asked us to study two projects. One of the projects was promoted by them. Its name was DSAL. And the other one was a kind of a fork of the first one. Basically, both projects have similar features. Indeed, the name is very similar. Their main feature is to offer service to with geographic information. Sorry, so they are basing geographic information systems to create service on what was the name, infrastructure and local equipment was the name. So a bit of context. DSAL is the tool that was promoted by the Provincial Council of A Coruña. And the second one, which name is GVCAL, was created a few years later, the first one. And it was created as a module of a bigger project called GVSIG. Okay. Due to the fact that the two names are very, very similar, I'm going to use project E to refer to DSAL and project B to refer to GVCAL, okay, because to avoid misunderstandings. So let's have a look at the history. In 12 years ago, the project A was created, promoted by our client, by the Provincial Council of A Coruña. A Coruña is in the region of Galicia. The first version of the product was released using a private license. 4 years later, they decided to release the project using a free, libre, open source license. And they used as a base a tool called DVSIG 1.0. Years later, the Provincial Council of Pontevedra, which is also in the region of Galicia, wanted to use the project A. And they subcontracted a company, a development company, to adapt it to their needs. But both the company and them decided to kind of starting from scratch, using only some parts of the original project. So years later, they created GVSync AL, which is a module for the project GVSync. The question at this point, just later, the kind of fork, is that how different is the code from the project A and the project B? Our client, which was in charge of maintaining the project A, wanted to know if a merge would be feasible and how much effort would he need to perform it. So for this, we needed to identify the amount of code that was reused from the project E, from the project A in the project B. Besides that, our client was also interested in knowing how the code was reused. What was the people doing with the code from the project A? They were just copying it and pasting it. They were modifying the license. They were using new schemas of licensing. And the third point is that they were interested in they wanted us to study the functionality. I'm not going to talk about this third point because it's not very technical. So I'm going to show you how you can reproduce this study to find out how difficult it is to perform a merge and to find out the licensing issues and copyright issues between two FLOSS projects. So, the methodology. In this case, we are using two FLOSS projects. That means that we are using information that is publicly available. Everyone can download the information and reproduce the study. Indeed, we are using FLOSS tools to perform the analysis. So even our client can reproduce the study. The first step in our methodology is to retrieve, download the code from both projects, the source code from both projects, sorry. So once we have the code, we have something to be analyzed. We had to identify the tools that we thought were going to add useful information. We identified four tools. I'm going to explain you later the four tools. But if you reproduce the study, you may find more useful tools. So the third step is to process the raw data that the tools are offering us. So once we got the tools, we executed against the source code, and we get the raw data. It is needed to perform a kind of analysis of the raw data to elaborate and to get the final results to identify the relevant information. So these are the sources we use for the project A. Well, this information was provided by the client. So the client told us, I want you to study this project. This project is using this subversion repository, and I want to compare it with this project, which is using 6 Git repositories and 2 subversion repositories. So we only had to download the source code from the repositories. And in this study, we didn't have feedback from developers. The good point of this is that you can perform the study, get useful information without trying to convince developers to help you. Of course, if you have developers and you have feedback from the developers, the result is going to be much stronger, much useful. But you can also have very useful information without feedback from developers. So, I'm going to present you the four tools we use. These are CC Finder, Clock, Ninka, and Grep. CC Finder, which is the complex one, is the one that allows us to say that a code snippet is present in the two software projects. So the bad thing about CC Finder is that the configuration is a bit tricky. It works in a token level, so you have to configure it. You have to tell the tool, okay, this is for me a code snippet that is cloned. And you have to select a correct number of tokens to avoid fake positives and to get relevant information. If you, for instance, use a small number of tokens for a code snippet, you can get fake positives. because you will end up with a lot of common code snippets that are not really cloned code. And if you use a very big number of tokens, you maybe don't get the real information. So we made a few tests with our code, in Java, because we were comparing Java code. We made some tests with our projects, and later with the projects we were studying, and that's how we get the configuration. So the second tool is Clock, which is a really nice tool. It's the evolution of slot count. Maybe you know slot count. It basically calculates the source lines of code of a software project, and it supports 86 programming languages. The third tool is Ninka. Ninka was created by Daniel Germán. Ninka is basically a parallel script that returns the license of the code. It basically searches using regular expressions in the header of the file and let you know the license header that he found. And the last one is Web, which is a very basic tool. It's a command line, very common in the Unix environment. And it search text streams using also regular expressions. I'm going to show you both Ninka, Clock, and Grep. So this is Ninka. I'm going to execute Ninka against Ninka to see what he says. And he says that Ninka contains the license of Fero GPL version 3 or later. Okay? So we have identified the license of this code. Now we would like to see the programming language of this code. We use Clock. Clock says that it has 100 lines of Perl code. And last but not least, we would like to know what's the copyright of the file. So we perform a very basic search using grep. And it returns that the copyright belongs to Yuri Manabe and Daniel Germán. So with these three basic tools in combination with CC Finder, we can get a very, very useful result. This is the raw data, the output of CC Finder, which is more complex. In the table, in the cold left, we can see the clones that CC Finder identified. So in this example, CC Finder identified one clone here and three more here. Four code snippets that are common in both projects. Okay? If you pay attention to this ID, this is the ID of the file where the clone ID was found, from this token to this token, and this clone was also present in this file. So the important thing here is that this clone, which is the same in the project A, was present in several parts of the file with this ID, of the file 2093, which means that this part of the code was repeated in this file. So we have to take into account that from the project X here, we share two blocks of code. We have two common code snippets. But from the point of view of the project Y, we have four common code snippets. Okay? Because if you offer the results, you have to provide it from the two points of view. At the end, they only share two blocks of code, but one project is using it more, so you have to also include that information. So we're getting to the fun part. This is the result for a file. The file is present in the project A. The name of the file is exportmap2.java. It is obviously written in Java. We found three files with clones, which means three files in the project B have at least one code snippet cloned from this file. The total lines of code, source lines of code for this file are less than 600. The license header identified by Ninka is GPL version 2, and the copyright is of the Provision Council of A Coruña. Okay, here in this table, we get the slog with clock, the license with Ninka, the copyright with grep, and the clone files with CC Finder. Okay, for this file, we got these three files with clone code in the project B. So, for instance, we have the file export several2.java, where 43% of the code was cloned, which means it's also present in the file in project A. This is 244 source lines of code that are cloned. And if you pay attention to the license and copyright columns, you can see that neither license and copyright are found in the derivative works. So this means that they could be violating the GPL clause, because if you use a GPL file, you have to keep the information that is included in the file. So now let's have a look at some global results. These are the modules for the project A. Yeah, we have plenty of them. Yeah, maybe we have too many of them. Here we have the name of the module or the project A, the size of the module, and the size of the code that is cloned. So for instance, in this clone with 1,000 lines of code, there are no lines cloned. There are no lines present in the project B. For this module, ALSCAT, there are more than half, 60%, 61% of the code is also present in the project B. Here we have similar results with very, very few lines of code clone. And if we have a look at the chart, we can identify that from this project A, remember that this one, the project that was promoted by our client, only one module is being used in the project B. Other rest of the modules are not almost used. Okay? So, if we count the total lines of code of the project A, which are 320,000 lines of code, we get that only 40,000 lines of code are reused by the project B. Okay, so this is a very, very small piece of the cake. So now, as I told you before, we have to offer the two points of view. Now we've seen the point of view of the project A. Let's have a look at the point of view of the project B. The project B has less modules, and here we have also one of the modules that it contains a lot of clone code, 43%. So this module, OpenCAD Tools, its size is 36,000 lines of code, and it is using almost 16,000 lines of code from the project A. So again, what means is that the project B is using reused code only in one of the modules, not in the whole project. So, but in this time, the project B is smaller because it is a module of GBC. The portion of the code is bigger. They are using 16,000 lines of code out of 80,000 lines of code. So, final conclusions. Here in the figure we have the total size of the project. The yellow bar is the code that is not cloned. The violet is the code that is cloned. So for the project A, only 6% of the code was cloned and is present in the project B. So for the project B, as it is smaller, Project B is using 20% of the code, reused 20% of it, of its code. But it is necessary to remark that B is using 16 lines of code from Project A, while Project A is offering only 14 lines of code. That means that there are 2,000 lines of code that are repeated in the Project B. So, as we saw, most of the comment code being reused by B is located in the module ALSCAD from Project A and OpenCAD tools from Project B. And last but not least, neither copyright holder and license header is present in 91% of the files that were reused by Project B. So I'm not a lawyer, but this could be an issue for them. So also we found that the code that was released by our client in 2004 was using a version of GVC, and they at that time they didn't also respect the information, the legal information. But this is something that they fixed in the latest version. So that's all. Any questions? No? Thank you. Thank you very much.